from it. He's able to play, because he was kind of complaining about that.
Well, he's a competitor, number one. He wants to play his very best. He hasn't been able to do that really since the opener. But because of our corner situation, he's had to get out there. We've tried to manage it the best we can. Honestly, last week we were managing both corners. Nolan Carroll had a hamstring issue also from practice last week. So we tried to take approach of keeping a rotation to keep those guys fresh. But it's tough when you're on the outside part of the field. You know, if you're an offensive lineman, hamstring's not going to bother you as much. Maybe a defensive lineman, linebacker. But when you're a skill guy, wide receiver, DB, you know, it's tough to manage. And, you know, I commend those guys for trying to push through it. We're a little bit light on numbers. You know, everybody's beat up this time of year. They just got to find a way to get it done. We have to find a way to put them in positions to be able to get it done.
You see yourself being, you know, working some more guys, like possibly activating CJ or whatever this week?
Well, CJ was active last week. He's been available to play, but you know, it's one of the reasons we used Jalen in there, and we took Jalen off of the nickel last week also, because we liked Malcolm and his matchup in there last week anyway, but you know, we'll try to manage it the best we can going forward.
The sack production went down these past 2 weeks. What's the reason for it?
Well, I think that you've got a quarterback, particularly last week. I'll just speak on last week. Quarterback's going to get rid of the ball quick. And, you know, it's hard to get him sacked when he's getting rid of the ball so quick. It's hard to sack him when he's running the ball. I thought we did a decent job of stopping the run. We didn't get in a whole lot of eight-man fronts. Actually, when we were getting in eight-man fronts to stop the run, they picked the ball up and threw it to it. The touchdown passes we gave up were run calls by the offense, and the quarterback just picked it up and threw it. One was on the goal line, and the other one was the first touchdown of the game. So you have to just keep on coming. If you watched the Giants as they went on, a lot of times pass rush early in the game wasn't as effective as later in the game. I think later in the game our rush, we didn't get sacks, but it had some effect. We were able to get a couple key stops at the end. And I think our last turnover was related to the rush. You know, I mean, if you said, hey, would you rather have a sack or a tip ball that's an interception, I'll take the tip ball that's an interception. I mean, our sack numbers haven't been where we want, but, you know, it's not always the result of not having a good rush.
Well, he was tough on himself yesterday. He said he needs to play better. Obviously, he had sacks in the beginning of the season. They've kind of gone away. Is he still playing at the highest level that he played earlier in the year?
He was playing fantastic against the run in that game. And like I said, we weren't loading up the run front to stop him, because we were more, you know, trying to manage our coverage situation. And we relied on those guys up front. And Fletch in particular made some dynamic plays against the run. And, you know, I don't know what it ended up, but I think against the running backs, not including the quarterback kneel downs, we were about 2.5 yards a carry. And like, that was due to guys like Fletch. Part of the facts of life when you're in the NFL is when you're a good player, you're going to get attention. And, you know, I think that, you know, and I wouldn't put Fletch in this because he's not a sophomore, but, you know, a lot of times you guys talk about sophomore slumps and things like that. It's not so much that a guy is in a slump. It's just that everybody else is paying attention to him now. You know, if you get a baseball player that, you know, hits a bunch of home runs, well, pitchers are going to find a way to get him out. And I think Fletch has to deal with that. When you're a dynamic pass rusher in the NFL, when you can make an impact, offensive line coaches are going to start their game plan with number 91. Offensive coordinators are going to do it. You know, and I think you just have to keep on going and know that there's other ways that you can contribute. But we certainly rely on Fletch to make a lot of plays for us, and he's played well, even though his numbers haven't been as eye-popping as they were in the first month of the year.
Michael Kendrick's only played three snaps.
Well, they just played one personnel group the whole game. And the times that they didn't, he was out there. He's going to be a big part of the game plan this week. Obviously, Atlanta uses a lot of fullback, and they use a lot of different personnel groups. What the Giants do is they stay in three wide receivers and go no huddle. Makes it very difficult to situational substitute. He was productive in his three. I mean, there was that's sort of the way it goes when teams want to play that way. And I think – That's a little bit of the trend of the NFL, too. You're going to see so many more three wide receiver sets. They're trying to put more skill guys on the field, put more playmakers on the field, pitch and catch and those kind of things.
Jim, that in turn, like Jim Watkins on the field a lot. What have you seen out of his development as the first guy?
You know, I thought he, particularly having some multidimensional skills, moving into safety, he did a good job of playing in the pass. He was improving. Improved tremendously against the run, made a lot of plays in the preseason, and when he was called upon in limited time in the first 6 weeks of the year, he always responded when it came up. But I think that as his playing time gets more, it's a little bit different than I talked about with Fletch, but the more he's out there, the more he has to take into account that now offenses are going to scheme him, and they're going to know that he's on the field, and he needs to raise his game. He had played good, consistent football. I don't know that he played as good last week as he had in weeks past, but, you know, particularly with our corner situation and Malcolm get more reps at the nickel, we're going to need him going forward and need him to make some of those, get back to making some of those plays that he made before, but albeit in more extensive playing time now.
He's on track to return this week. I mean, what would it mean to have Benny back?
Yeah, Benny was playing at a really high level before he got hurt. And, they particularly, well, not just against the run, but against the pass also. So the more – I thought Bo has raised his level. Bo Allen has raised his level since Benny's been down. But to have a four-man rotation in there will mean a lot more. Having three-man rotation has worn us down in games, but you're not as fresh at the end of the game as you would like to be, and hopefully we can get back to that.
The way Matt Ryan and the Falcons are playing right now, is this the most explosive offense you guys have faced? I mean, the Cowboys have been good, other teams you have faced have been good, but right now?
Yeah, when you're a defense coordinator, they're all good. You don't sleep well the entire week because, you just see playmakers, and it doesn't matter if it's, Odell Beckham or it's Julio Jones or Matt Ryan or Eli Manning every week. There's somebody else. Falcons are playing well offensively because they're not a one-trick pony. Talk about Matt Ryan. We talk about Julio Jones, but, they run the ball very well. Their stats aren't great running the ball, but they're still, they're significant. And they got a running back that can break anywhere. It's not just Julio Jones. I think they've won. You guys have to check the stats on it, but they've won like three games this year that Julio Jones really didn't have a big impact on. His numbers weren't great, but they still were able to win the game. And I think that's a sign of a good offense, whether, one guy's not having a good day or defense is a scheme to take him out. They still had enough else to go to. And that's our challenge this week. It's not just about stopping the run. It's not just about stopping one receiver. It's not just about, pressuring a quarterback that doesn't have a lot of playmakers. They're very and they have a very good scheme. Shanahan does a really good job of putting those guys in good position. We're going to have to play our very best.
Jim, you had a pretty good receiver in Detroit, obviously. How does Julio? How does he kind of rank up there with those elite type guys?
Well, he's all those big guys. Even when they're covered, they're still open. Because their catching radius is so big, they're so strong, they're so physical, they can jump. And I think that's what takes Julio to a level, that's different than other NFL receivers. He can threaten deep down the field. He can catch the ball over the middle. He can take a short pass and he can run extremely strong. He's hard to knock off his routes. Larry Fitzgerald had a lot of that. I think Julio Jones might even be more explosive and more dynamic than Larry Fitzgerald, who's a Hall of Fame receiver. So, he's not super tall. He's not like he's 6'6" or 6'8", but he's tall enough and his arms are long. I think probably the number one thing is his physical strength and his ability to make catches in traffic, make contested catches, get open versus press coverage. Those are all things we're going to have to take into consideration.
Jim, Matt Ryan has taken some sacks this year, much more than Eli did. Is it a different setup with him back there than what the Giants showed you?
It is. The Giants threw an awful lot of three-step, where, you know, even if sometimes even when you're a free rusher, you can't get there. You know, the Falcons use a lot more, I would call, individual routes. They try to spread the field. It's a little bit basketball-esque, I'd say. You know, trying to get some isolations, trying to, you know, and they're a very disciplined offense when it comes to routes, but there's some, I'm going to say schoolyard, but there's some schoolyard, backyard type concepts to their routes, some get open type concepts. And some of those aren't exactly, you know, quick passes. Some of those take a little bit, you know, get in, reverse your field, get back out, those kind of things. It does give you a little bit of time to get there. You know, and our pass rush, our blitz package, combination of both is going to have to affect that timing.
Ryan's a good offensive tackle rotation with Benny out.
What did Destiny Veau show you, you know, with his increased numbers?
Well, he got that sack early in this game. You know, I thought he made some strides in that time. You know, and it's asking a lot for a rookie to go in and, you know, when you only have three guys, it's not, you can't pick and choose. It can't be like, you know, I think the Bears, he played 8 to 10 snaps, something like that. It wasn't a whole lot. Was able to make a play in there, but, you know, when you're relied on to play more snaps, you have to grow up fast. And, you know, I think he gained some confidence in there. But there's nothing like having your full complement. And, you know, that's always not, you know, it's always not going to be that way in the NFL. But if we can get Benny back this week, that'll, you know, that'll put us back into sort of a little bit more the way we blueprinted that position.
So for defensive coaches, philosophically, what dictates whether you play left and right corners as opposed to having a corner
flat? You know, sometimes it's the comfort level of a player. Sometimes you have right or left-handed type players. You know, I've been with corners in the past that didn't feel comfortable traveling. They like settling in on their side. You know, sometimes it's matchups. You know, sometimes you have bigger corners that, you know, maybe aren't as quick, and that's a good matchup for them. Maybe you have a smaller corner that can shadow a shiftier receiver. You know, and I think scheme has a lot to do with it, too. It's how much zone you're playing, how much man-to-man you're playing, how much pressure you're bringing. All those things go into consideration that way.
Ryan's played at the high level for a long time. This year, in particular, he's taking greater heights. What are the differences that you're seeing when you're watching?
They're just in sync offensively. Like I said, their run game has been outstanding. It complements their passing game. You know, I think it's all sort of in sync right now, and it's our job to get it out of sync. Not many people have been able to do that. They're averaging about 35 points a game, and even the games they lost, you know, they still were able to move the ball and still were able to score. It just makes our challenge even, you know. No, he's always been a guy to take command of the offense. I think he's playing with a lot of confidence. I think that has a lot to do with quarterback play. You know, I think it's all fitting together. The combination of scheme, players, run game, pass game, you know, I think Sanu adding to their offense has given him another target when teams do take Julio Jones away. I think it's all been working pretty good for him. And, you know, on Sunday, it's our job to make it not go so good for him.
When you have a receiver like Julio Jones, I mean, as a coach, like, how much of a safety valve is that, knowing that, like, you know, worst comes to worst, you can always kind of throw it up to him and he can kind of make a play for you?
Well, you know, I think it's, from a coaching standpoint, I don't know that that's where they go. But from a quarterback standpoint, I think that, you know, that combination of a quarterback that has confidence in his guy to be able to make a tough contested catch. And I'm not just talking about down the field. I'm talking about, you know, in the short area, a shallow cross, an option route, those kind of things. I don't know that that goes in the scheme. I don't think any coach is going to sit there and say, yeah, everybody's going to be covered, so just, you know, just throw it up. But I do think a quarterback, if he has confidence in his guy ability to make a play or at worst get an incompletion, I think that goes a long way.
Outside Brandon Graham, how do you feel the production of the edge rushers that you've had this year?
You know, I think, I mean, I'll sort of put us at 4-4. You know, even Brandon has had times where, you know, he can rush better. You know, I think one of the biggest ones in this last game is we had a chance when they were backed up, maybe get a safety, and you know, and Vinny, who was rushing well on the play, just got a little bit loose. Eli was able to get rid of the ball. You know, safety in that situation might have been able to make a difference. You know, Connor didn't have great production when it comes to rushing the passer, but he knocked down two passes. Of course, one of them we might have intercepted if he didn't knock down. The other one we did intercept. So there's a lot of different ways those guys can contribute. We put a lot in the run game on those guys. Vinny, I think, in particular, played really good against the run. You know, and we knew we were going to have to do that. But, you know, I think that, you know, we're a 4-4 team, and that reflects not just the entire team, but I think that reflects our defense. I think that reflects all aspects of our defense, our coverage, our pass rush, everything else. There's been some good, but there's some things that we can do better, and we're going to need to do that over the last half of the year. Okay.